You are listening to The Vitals, a bi-monthly podcast for all things oncology nursing. For even more content, check out oncologynursingnews.com or find Oncology Nursing News on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or LinkedIn. Hi everyone, this is Lindsay Fisher, editor at Oncology Nursing News. In this episode, we are joined by Beth Fehman, who is a nurse practitioner and researcher with the Cleveland Clinic, as well as a board member of the NPPA Center of Excellence in Multiple Myeloma. Fehman discusses reclassifying patients with multiple myeloma in light of new data, the accelerated approval of teclistamab, and the removal of belantamab mafodotin from the U.S. market.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. How's everyone doing today? I'm good, thanks.
Good.
Wonderful. Just to start off, what are some of the unmet needs in promoting better patient care?
Right, that's an excellent question because there are so many new drugs with various mechanisms of action that a lot of the practitioners might not see in their clinic or use in their clinic if they don't have many patients with multiple myeloma. Advanced practitioner knowledge is critical in helping the patient and their caregiver navigate this complicated treatment landscape, in my opinion. And trusted advanced practitioners like the NPs and PAs are the ones that the patients will go to. They might not see the physician in the office, and that NP and PA might be the most trusted person on their healthcare team. So as I mentioned, the important aspects of treatment sequencing, adherence to therapy. Now in multiple myeloma care, let's say that a patient's in the community hospital, they'll typically get 3 to 4 drugs up front. They'll go to a transplant or just stay on treatment and then maintain that therapy. So supporting that patient while they're on their maintenance phase, where they're taking just like a pill a day, checking the blood counts, keeping up on health maintenance, making sure their bones are strong, and all those other supportive care things are so important for the advanced practitioners to understand and have knowledge of. So those are things that I continually will educate others on, is the adherence and the supportive care and monitoring of the disease, especially if they're going back and forth to different healthcare providers. Who's in charge of checking the labs, making sure the patient's in remission, and making sure they're up to date on immunizations and other aspects of their care?
Right. And what are some of the unique challenges of caring for patients with multiple myeloma right now in 2023?
Right. So relative to multiple myeloma care, NPs and PAs will face the typical challenges of any cancer care. Right now in 2023, we still have a staffing shortage in many large hospital centers. We also have more electronic means of communication. The patient can type in a message and contact your provider by a health portal. And while that's a wonderful means of communicating symptoms or side effects, it still can be very time consuming, especially if some patients will frequently email concerns rather than talking on the phone. There is also an inpatient hospital shortage of beds in many institutions. During COVID, we had a lot of the COVID beds were taken up, and now admitting patients to the hospital for some of our newer therapies is a challenge. So if you have a heavily pretreated myeloma patient on some of the new cellular therapies or the bispecifics that they have to be admitted to the hospital, we have to really logistically manage who's going to be admitted on what day and when, so that we have that bed space available and patients need to be taken care of. So we have to have staffing available as well.
Yeah, right. Really great points. Thank you. In your opinion, what are some of the biggest recent changes in clinical guidelines, research updates in the multiple myeloma space?
Oh my gosh, I don't think we have 5 hours for this interview. So there are a couple of things. So first of all, the guidelines and the diagnosis and management. We had the guidelines on diagnosis in 2003, 2006, when I started in the myeloma space, and that was updated in 2014. Now, because of all the great drugs that we have and the wonderful research that is undertaken in myeloma, we have better knowledge of who is more at high risk of needing treatment sooner than later. And so we're placing patients in more and more categories and offering clinical trials for what we call high-risk smoldering patients, for example. And so some of the guidelines now are going to be perhaps changed. And this is just from last month research published to say, okay, maybe not everybody who's in the SLIM criteria, that this is a SLIM crab, with the serum-free light chains and 60% bone marrow plasma cells and MRI, they with lesions, maybe not everybody in that category needs to be changed. Maybe we're going now back to that CRAB criteria and it's still new and hot off the presses.
Yeah, thank you so much for pointing that out. For listeners at home, we're discussing Ludwig et al., which was published in The Lancet Discovery, and researchers looked at the risk of progression in patients with biomarker-defined multiple myeloma and at least 60% bone marrow plasma cells or a free light chain ratio of over 100, and they found that in recent studies, these patients had a roughly threefold longer timed progression and about 50% lower two-year progression risk than previous studies had showed. The implications are that patients who fit within this criteria perhaps should not automatically be considered to have early myeloma, and investigators who published the study advised that a more conservative approach when considering treatment initiation is warranted.
Yeah, but as it relates to treatment, I think as I highlighted earlier, we used to do two drugs up front, like lenalidomide or Velcade with dexamethasone for a majority of our patients. Now it's commonplace to do at minimum three low doses of drugs or four low doses of drugs to really target the bone marrow microenvironment and that myeloma cell in various ways. So stay tuned for more and more updates to how we sequence our therapy and what drugs we use and when.
Awesome. Thank you so much for pointing that out. And shifting to just some changes in the market for multiple myeloma, I'd love to discuss first the accelerated approval of teclistamab, which was approved in October of 2022. And this agent received accelerated approval from the FDA for the indication of adult patients with relapsed or refractory multiple myeloma. To be eligible for treatment, these patients must have already undergone four prior lines of therapy, including a proteasome inhibitor, an immunomodulatory agent, and an anti-CD38 monoclonal antibody. And then in November of this year, GSK pulled out its marketing authorization for belantamab mafodotin in the United States. The agent had been approved for adult patients with multiple myeloma who had received at least four prior lines of therapy, including an anti-CD38 monoclonal antibody, a proteasome inhibitor, and an immunomodulatory agent. And the decision to withdraw the U.S. indication stemmed from a request from the FDA following the results of the Phase 3 DREAM-3 trial, which showed that the study did not meet its primary endpoint of a progression-free survival benefit with the agent in comparison to a combination of pomalidomide plus low-dose dexamethasone. So what was your interpretation of these changes in the treatment landscape, and how was it impacting your practice today?
Yeah, so teclistamab and belantamab mafodotin are both drugs that are what we call BCMA-directed therapies. In the last decade, BCMA, which stands for B-cell maturation antigen, is a member of this tumor necrosis factor superfamily. And so anyhow, we know that BCMA is expressed on late stage myeloma cell development, but not like the early cells or the healthy cells. So it's really a strong target for myeloma. So we have two CAR T-cell therapies approved. Those are cellular therapies where patients donate blood, manufacture these CARs that drive around in the bloodstream and directly attack the myeloma cell. That's ide-cel and cilta-cel, and those are approved cellular therapies. But off-the-shelf therapies are teclistamab and belantamab mafodotin. So teclistamab is what we call a bispecific T-cell engager. It actually is like a helping hand that the antibodies have two arms, and the bispecific antibodies are engineered to have one arm to grab onto the T cell, the other arm grabs onto the myeloma cell, and they bring it together to cause cell death. It's really super science fiction stuff. But at any rate, the belantamab was just taken off the market, sadly, because it didn't meet primary endpoints. So we used a lot of belantamab. It's still in clinical trials. It still has some hope. The nice thing about belantamab, it was what an IV every 3 weeks. It's still directed against BCMA, and it was very well tolerated using one's own immune system, harnessing that immune system to fight the cancer. Now, teclistamab is different because it has more serious side effects, the cytokine release syndrome, and this neurotoxicity, which can occur. So patients need to be hospitalized for 9 days. This is similar with the CAR T therapy. They can still get the CRS and neurotoxicity, but at any rate, these are very effective therapies, both very effective therapies. I look forward to belantamab possibly coming back on the market in combination with other drugs at different dose levels. For right now, teclistamab has been a godsend for many of our patients, but we have to admit them to the hospital. Lots of education, insurance approvals, and we already talked about time crunch with advanced practitioners, and that holds true for staffing concerns with these drugs. But again, it's wonderful that the patients have this as an available option for treatment, especially if they've had four or more prior lines of therapy, and this is one of their last lines of therapy that can possibly work.
Thank you so much. That's a really great response. Was there anything else that you would like for NPs or RNs to know?
Oh, for sure. I just want to send the message that I don't want you to ever underestimate your important role in the patient and caregiver journey. You have a voice to help with many things, such as making sure that their labs are drawn, making sure they come to the treatment. See, these basic things are so critical to myeloma patients. Suppressing the malignant clone through ongoing treatment is the way that we manage myeloma in 2023. So making sure that they're coming to their appointments, they're scheduling their appointments, helping with financial reimbursement of medications. There's lots of support systems out there, and getting their buy-in to for a referral to a larger institution if you're at a small place. Many places like my institution at Cleveland Clinic, we regularly partner with smaller hospitals. So come see us once every year by telemedicine if you're 3 hours away. You know, do a virtual visit. You don't have to drive in. We'll review your labs, we'll review the studies or treatment options. And then that way you can have the best of both worlds, your local team, who is, you know, the one that's mostly taking care of you. And then you can get some opinions from time to time to make sure that you feel comfortable and confident in the types of care. So don't forget to listen to the patient and caregiver opinion. And again, never underestimate your important role in the patient and caregiver journey.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Vitals. Be sure to never miss a beat with Oncology Nursing News.